Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Bad. Kill! Filthy bastard tummies! I hate them! I hate them!
Okay, well, You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show that is presented to the National Campus and Radio Association networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin. We do this every Thursday mornings from 9 to 10 on our local station, CITR 101.9 FM. And we do this again on Fridays from 2 to 2:30 p.m. on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, both online, CITR.ca and cooperio.org. We're going to go to our special guest in just a moment, but right now, for our local listeners listening to us on UBC Radio, on CITR 101.9 FM, this is our pledge day. So please give us a call, 604-822-8648. That's 604 UBC unit. And we got two people that are on there standing by making the phone calls right now, because without your support, we won't be doing this radio show. Well, I wouldn't say Wednesday.
We'd have trouble doing it without their support.
Yeah, without their support, we wouldn't do this radio for sure. All of it goes to our local support, local alternative programming. We build audiences for local bands and support. Think of Discord Magazine. That's what they do for CITR. They're both part of the newspaper or the newsletter versus the radio. So you do both. You get both worlds. And we also have, well, we've got our radio, 604, and of course our phone line, 604-822-8648. Or if you want to donate online, go to www.citr.ca/donate today. I imagine the online will be around until the end of March, around there, so you can still do it even if you don't do it by the donation on it. So there you go.
All right.
March. Yeah, so we're on until March 17th. That's the last day. So that is my pledge. I'll go back to Michael. So, Michael.
Yeah.
This is a show that we do every week.
Yep. So, and we have two special guests with us today.
Yes.
Paul Gilbert, who's kind of a friend of the show, mm-hmm. and Jenny Sims, who is the MLA, the NDP MLA candidate in Surrey, BC.
Okay. Provincial?
Provincial. I used to actually live in her riding when I lived close to North Delta. And okay. I got to know her a little bit, and she's a very personable person, and that's how we got to have her on the show today. So, yeah. So, Jenny, Paul, are you both there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Paul, good to hear from you.
BC Disability Caucus, by the way. That's my main role in life these days.
Yeah, the show is for disabilities, and that's why we invited Paul, I told him that we were going to have you, and he might have a couple questions about the NDP plan for BC for disability. So, and I said, hey, you might be able to answer some of those questions.
I just want to make a note. You we're having Paul Gilbert on the cell phone right now, on Michael's cell phone. Just let you know, Jenny, just let you know if you can't hear Paul on the phone. So just to let you know. All right, Jenny?
Yeah.
All right. So go on.
Okay. So I'm going to start with Jenny, though. Jenny, why don't you tell everybody, one, how you got started in politics and why you're excited to be able to run for MLA in Surrey?
Well, it's a long history, and the key reason I got involved is because I want to help to bring about a change. And sometimes, a lot of the time, social justice activists eventually come to the realization that if you really want to bring about systemic change, sometimes you have to get involved. I'm from education. I'm a teacher. Bill van der Zaam did a lot to activate my political activism. And then it was Gordon Campbell in 2002, mm-hmm. by stripping our collective agreement and basically making a full frontal attack on working people, whether it was hospital workers, whether it was teachers, whether it was other unionized workers or private sector workers as well. And what I saw happening is that the province changing quite dramatically, as were the services. And so that's when I decided that it was time to throw my feet, both jump with both my feet into provincial politics. I had, as you know, I'd sat as an MP, and there what drove me into politics was getting rid of Stephen Harper.
Right.
And I would say right now that's my intention for running, is to get rid of Christy Clark and the Liberals, because my feeling is they have not been good for BC. Because when I look at it, I'm going to look at it from the social justice perspective first.
Okay.
From a social justice perspective, you look at, you know, how well a society cares for its young, its old, its sick, and those living with disabilities, and those who are vulnerable and can't support themselves. And I would say that under this government, we can give them a failing grade on every one of those. I also look at public education and what the devastation they have meted out, plus spending millions upon millions of dollars fighting court rulings just out of mean-spiritedness. And then I see, you know, seniors in my riding, but I also see the disappearing of decent paying jobs. In my riding specifically, I see people working two or three part-time jobs or low-paying jobs and trying to make ends meet. And those with middle-class salaries are saying they're having a hard time going from month to month, from paycheck to paycheck.
I see the same thing happening in Surrey, because I live in South Surrey now, but you see a lot of that is like people just really struggling just to make ends meet, you know. So how do you think the NDP is going to change that?
I think with government, it's all about priorities.
Mm-hmm.
We have a premier right now and a government that their top priority seems to be the top 2%. It seems to me that they are more focused on giving huge tax breaks to the top 2%, and they have forgotten that there's 98% of us who live in BC as well. And John Horgan, through his own personal lived experiences and his commitment, is to build a better BC for all of us, not just for a select few.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts very, very simply with, you know, investments in education. It starts with growing jobs right here. It starts with, you know, getting the big money and the big lobbyists away and focusing on growing decent paying job here in BC.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the NDP represents a party that will support small and medium-sized businesses, focus on growing decent paying jobs here instead of shipping our jobs overseas all the time. And they're also a government that will invest in healthcare, in education. And let me tell you, I have more confidence that they will be able to protect our environment and develop our resources than I do in the Liberals, for whom it is basically slash and burn.
Yeah. Paul, what are your feelings on some of what Jenny's just said?
She probably won't hear it.
Yes.
Paul?
I agree completely. For my entire life, I've wondered why it is that that our country and our province is so invested in exporting raw materials, and when we have such knowledge and expertise in our country, in Japan, which has no raw resources, is able to develop a vibrant economy that's one of the leading economies on the planet. It just seems insane. I've always been with the Horgan's move towards having a green economy and green technology. I think that's very promising for BC, because there's so much that could be done in BC to support manufacturing of green technology and the use of green technology by BC, by people who live in BC, and also the export of green technology to other places for profit.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't need to be invested in working with large corporations. It could all be local.
Right. Green technology is something also that you would support also, right, Jenny?
Absolutely. And, you know, we know that investments in green energy actually leads to a greater number of jobs than the investments in the current focus that is. We're not sort of saying that the current focus needs to disappear altogether, but we've got to look into the future. And I was so pleased when Horgan announced investments in the tech sector as well, you know, so that we can grow our talent, invest, and expand the market in that area as well. But going back to the green technology, I think that right now what we have is a government that has invested in, let's say, energy in BC in a way that is actually harming us. They have, to their private friends or small group of elite friends, they're buying power at a higher price from them and then having to sell it for less. They're actually buying power at above the market price. The government is. Those are the kind of deals that they have entered. And then I look at BC Hydro and the situation BC Hydro is in now, and yet it's one of our sort of glorious crown jewels, I would say, because it helps to support so many other programs, because it is a moneymaker, and yet we're failing to invest in hydro in a way that we need to. I look at the site C Dam, which this government wants to rush through at the fastest speed possible before the election, and their full blast, despite the fact that even the United Nations, UNESCO has come out and said it needs a review and that there are major, major concerns. So for me, the question that always comes to my mind, this kind of ripping out of resources or going down these tracks without the proper environmental assessment and without looking at what's good for us, not just immediately but long-term, but in this case, really, really concerned at the speed that this government is going. And I fear for the future when it comes to energy and how this government is selling away our resources without getting the value added. You know, when we talk about jobs, that are being put at risk by this current government, by their policies, I take a look at the billions of dollars we make out of our fishing industry, billions of dollars worth of our tourism industry, and I keep thinking, surely we can't put those industries at risk for the promise of maybe 50-plus jobs. So I'm all for job growing, but I think what we need is decent paying jobs where people can work 5 days a week and then be able to afford food and a roof over their head without sort of feeling that they're on a treadmill. I don't think that is too much to ask. And also we need jobs that, you know, where people are going to work, working 50, 60 hours, and we don't need jobs that still leave them below the poverty line.
Right.
Paul, do you want to get in there before we take a break?
Oh, certainly. One of the things that I noticed when I was reading about you, Jenny, I noticed that you were an advocate for a national disability act before the Liberals stole the idea, and I wondered if you would be. The way it works in BC is the NDP caucus develops policy. If you'd be an advocate for a disability act in BC.
Jenny?
Absolutely. I am an advocate for a national program because I think a national program helps to form a frame and puts a focus and actually puts some resources towards making sure that we are doing everything we can to build a more inclusive society. All my life I've been an advocate for students living with disabilities. We used to call them special needs students. Now we call them students with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Every student has a special need. And but those who are living with disabilities, we have been failing them for a great number of years, both in the public education system and in our greater society. And I think that we need to have very strong and passionate advocates to make sure that those voices are heard. But, you know, voices alone are not enough. Voices are a catalyst for action. And I'm a real believer that it is time for some real action and for province to put meat around their plan and then to actually invest. And what I've seen happening recently, and I don't know if you're aware, but I had a great number of town hall meetings with people living with disabilities, meetings in my office. And what I heard over and over again, we're talking about heartbreaking stories where people are coming and saying, how can we live on this dollar amount?
I just got to stop you.
No number of an accounting genius can show me how people can survive and live with dignity right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to hold you up right there a second, Jenny. Kelly's got to get a message out.
Yeah, we're having some bit of technical difficulties with the buzzing and a little bit of a background noise. If either one of you can turn down your radio just a little bit so that we don't get any of the feedback or anything like that, that'd be great.
Have the radio on.
Okay. If one of them had the radio on, for that matter. Anyways, I just want to take this moment to let you guys know about our fun drive here on CITR 101.9 FM. Of course, we're streaming online at CITR.ca. We're raising $40,000 for our fun drive right now. So far, we've got about $22,102.37. So we're going to need a little boost from you guys right now. This is what we do for our show, the Community Living Show. And what we do is we talk on disability. We talk about anything to do with disability, accessibility, They already, we have another show on CITR called All Access Pass. They do their bit on disabilities as well. They did theirs last week, so they'll probably do it again tonight, later on around 2 o'clock our time. And again, they'll discuss more about the fun drive. And of course, we have our finale, which is happening on March 17th. That'll be at the Polish Community Center. That's 4015 Fraser Street. $10 are in advance, $12 are at the door. So it's going to be a good night for it, for the finale. And all donations are welcome. Anything from cash, major credit cards, to anything for that particular. So give us a call, 604-822-8648 right now, to make a pledge now. Michael, did you want to say something?
Nope, that was
before we break. Okay.
That was about it.
So. All right, so callers, Jenny and Paul, can you hold on for just a moment? All right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be back in a moment here on the Community Living Show. We'll be back in just a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Do you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe walking around campus at night? There's an AMS service dedicated to helping anyone trying to get across campus alone at night. We're SafeWalk, and we have your back. Call us at 604-822-5355 to request a transfer, or check out our website at ams.ubc.ca/safewalk for more information on hours and policies.
On Friday, March 17th, come out to the Polish Community Center to join CITR and Discorder in celebrating our community's generosity and hard work with the Fun Drive finale.
Featuring one-off, never-heard-before performances by Tim the Mute, Hick, Puzzlehead, Ashley Shadow, Swim Team, and Missy D and Lady Jams.
Can't make it out? The night will be live broadcast at 101.9 FM and at CITR.ca. And for the first time ever, it will be streaming live on video.
There will also be a very special publication featuring poetry and visual art from the performers, free with entry.
Tickets are $10 in advance and $12 at the door, with all proceeds going towards CITR's fund drive. I'm a grown woman and that's what's up.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association networks. Jenny, we seem to have lost you now. You've got reconnected. So you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, good. So, Paul, are you there too?
Yes, I'm here still.
Okay, okay. Good. So all we right. are back. All right. So just to let you know, our fun drive is on right now, 604-822-8648. That's 604 UBC unit, or go online, woowoowoo.citr.ca/donate. We are at the point of where we are $22,122.37. Please give a call. I know one person's out there, so
There's two operators out there.
There's two?
Yeah, I don't one's see getting any... a drink of water.
Oh, okay. Okay, we do have two people. All right. Yeah, yeah. So if you are a member, if you pledge $30, you get a Friends of CITR card. $60, you get a limited edition of Fun Drive. $101.90 gives you a limited edition of CITR Spoken. $175, unlimited edition of Discorder and Tote Bag. $250, frame Discorder cover of your choice. $500 on-air shout-out, 10 songs, play of your list, and $1,000 recognition of CITR's donor wall, which is across from us, which right above from our windowsill has lots of tapes on it.
Yeah.
Of your donation. So, all right, okay. I'm done. Michael. So,
yeah, I guess the tech problem, the feedback we're hearing is only in our headsets. So
yeah, so
it's kind of weird. Jenny, I guess at this point, why don't I just ask, how's the campaign going?
Well, you know what? The campaign's going fine. We're having our official office opening on Sunday the 19th at 2 o'clock at 6289 King George Boulevard. So I would encourage anybody who's in the neighborhood to pop in. And we're always looking for volunteers because, as you know, we need that ground game in order to win. We don't have the $1 trillion that Christy Clark seems to be able to gather. So for us, it's all about the people who come and work with us. But I'm very excited because it's you really do get a good feel when you're going door to door.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, your NDP is also funded as well. So you get most of the people funded to you as well, similar to what we do on our fund drive.
Well, what we do is we're relying on you and others who are listening to donate either to the central party, like the BCNDP. Mm-hmm. All the funding goes through the BCNDP.
Right.
But all the money is collected through donations.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, we're BCNDPers, and we don't get the people writing the huge checks we've all been reading about in the Vancouver Sun or the Globe and Mail.
Right.
The NDP doesn't get the big corporate checks.
No, of course not.
We get some. But, okay, you know, not in those huge numbers that we're reading about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's all about getting the vote out.
Right.
Yeah. It's talking to people because people have had enough.
Mm.
I mean, I talk to people about education. I think when they see me, they see education written on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to talk about their kids. And then, you know, they know that Christy Clark has had to, even though she's been taken kicking, to implement the Supreme Court ruling.
Mm.
But remember, for 16 years, all those kids have gone without the services that were denied to them. And even now, Christy Clark has committed to implementing. But it's not that she's doing anybody a favor.
Right.
That's what she was told to do by the Supreme Court of Canada. And what really pleases me in all of this is that we're going to now start seeing support going directly to students with special needs.
Mm.
And we need far more support, by the way. In 2002, things weren't perfect. But it's taken 16 years to get back to where we were in 2002.
Mm. I just saw a posting of the BC Federation of Labor now doing a new commercial ad on a game. So you go onto the website, www.gameoverchristy.ca, and it's a pretty interesting game that they've done, the BC Federation of Labor has done. So,
well, you know, graphics is amazing. And, you know, when I first looked at it, you think, you know, because you're from I'm from a much older generation, but we're getting lots of good feedback on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yes.
So, about the BC Federation of Labor, do you have any comment on that?
Well, they helped us with our rally in Victoria on March 2nd.
Okay.
They've been quite good at supporting the disabled this past year. While it's been quite heartening. The one thing I was wondering about, I wanted to ask Jenny, the BCNDP has one of their key issues that they keep on talking about is the need for a poverty reduction in BC and the development of the Poverty Reduction and Economic Inclusion Act. There's no participation by the disabled in the planning of timelines and priorities. on that. They have some poverty advocates and business community people and academics, but the disabled haven't been included. I'm just going to ask her if she would advocate for our inclusion when she's one of our new MLAs.
Absolutely. We need to make sure that we have everyone involved at the table. Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying that I believe that, because I've seen the perspective of people living with disabilities.
The old phrase is nothing about us without us.
And the impact.
A huge percentage of the population in BC that are disabled are living in poverty.
I guess we're having another technical difficulty. Hang on a second, Paul. Jenny's answering your question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jenny?
Hi, Paul. I think today is the morning for technical difficulties.
Yeah.
But let me tell you that unless you have everybody at the table, you're not going to end up with a good plan. And I will be advocating to have a representative from people with disabilities there. As an MP, I have first-hand experience of talking with people with disabilities living well below the poverty line and struggling to make ends meet. But I'm a real strong supporter of having a plan, because I believe that unless you have targets, you're just kind of grabbing in the air. And then once you have an action plan and you set your target, then you have to be able to measure them and to make sure we're making progress. And it's shameful to me that as a province with a very high poverty rate amongst children and a high poverty rate anyway, even amongst the working poor, that we still don't have an action plan. So I'm all for one, and I'm all for getting everyone sitting at the table to develop one together.
You know, that's one thing I like about especially the way you're going about doing your campaign. You address the issue with a plan, not address the issue with, well, that's, they're not doing anything about it. It's like, what good does that do if no one has a plan to put in place to actually fix what the actual issue and problem is, right?
Well, even when I was an MP, mm-hmm. I pushed for a national action plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a provincial action plan. And when I'm elected to sit in government, and I hope I will get that opportunity, I will be pushing for that. But you know what? If I'm elected, whether I'm elected to be part of a government or to sit in opposition, I will be a loud and passionate advocate. I'm not one of those people who's going to go to Parliament or to the legislature and just not raise my voice. I think those of you who saw me as a Member of Parliament know that I was in the top 10% of the speakers there.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking on issues that really matter in my community, but also matter for all British Columbians. So that's, and I'm a very, very strong believer in having a plan, having targets, and then measuring those. Because I'm also one of those people who's action-oriented, very tired of talking about having things.
Mm.
And, you know, months and years go by, and they don't actually help those who are in need while we keep doing the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done so much talking about having a poverty reduction plan. It's time to put one in place.
Right. Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other questions to or get a response from Jenny?
Shoot. No, I completely agree with the need for a poverty reduction plan and actions and targets. The one of the critical things that's been happening for the disabled forever
mm-hmm.
is that we have governments constantly talking about how doing studies and talking about how we're this is the way things are, but they're improving. And then 10 years later, this is the way things are exactly the same, but they're improving.
Mm-hmm.
And in BC, it's such a charade where they talk about increasing labor force participation rates for people with disabilities because it's not happening, and they're not doing anything to make it happen. And that's been a major problem for the disabled. Precarious work is becoming common for everyone. It's been common for the disabled for a long time. So it would be really good if we had some plans around that that the NDP will champion for us.
Mm-hmm. Jenny?
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you raised the issue of precarious work, because that's one of the key things I'm now hearing about from almost everyone. And you're very right, Paul, that at one time it was limited to, and it was mainly amongst those living with disabilities, and a very small number otherwise. But nowadays, precarious work and the impact of it on your mental health and the impact of it on your day-to-day life and on your family life, on your relationship, we're beginning to see that. We're beginning to see that in our communities. And we're talking about whether you have a university graduate, or people coming out of the trades, or people coming out of college. More and more of them are talking about the impact of precarious work on their lives. And, you know, it's great to say I've got a contract. If your contract is for 6 months, how do you plan on buying a house, buying a vehicle, or even planning your family budget? Because all the time you're thinking about when those 6 months are up, where is the money going to come from?
Right.
So that is the other thing that has happened under this government, whether it's been them ripping out our raw materials and shipping them unprocessed overseas. The log situation is a prime example. There was a time when BC was a vibrant economy in the interior. I'm from the island, by the way, from Nanaimo. And our mills were operating and, you know, things were good.
Right.
People had decent paying jobs. They were putting away for their pension. And they were able to earn enough money to put their children through education. But now what we do is we cut down trees, we put them on trucks, and we ship them over the border into the U.S. And they make them into 2x4s. And then we bring those 2x4s back into this country, and then we, guess what, buy them. And but the jobs leave the country. And we've really got to have strategies that start growing the jobs here at home. And what about the value-added jobs? What about looking at the manufacturing industry? And what about looking at the tech sector and investing in there as well? And even our natural resources, and we're a province very rich in those resources, why wouldn't we focus on Canadian jobs?
I agree.
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah. It's always best to start locally before you decide to go globally. It's kind of the oxygen mask in the airplane idea. It's like put your mask on first before you pass it. So if you're giving away all your resources to someone else to let them make the money, you wind up not having a strong economy yourself, and it actually can weaken the global economy that way when you start causing problems like that. So at least that's my take on it.
On that note, I have to take a pause for a moment. Will you guys hold on for a moment?
Absolutely.
All right. So I got to do the fund drive. We've raised $22,122.37 so far, but we need your help to get to $40,000. Please call us now, 604-822-8648, if you're in the CITR facility area only. So if you're in the UBC area, if you're listening to us, of course, on Co-op Radio, that will be later in March, after March, March 31st, for that matter.
Yeah.
They'll do it on March 31st right through until April 6th or 7th, around that time. So they'll do their part, we do our part. So 604-822-8648. That is the number. Please help us raise $40,000 every year. We ask our listeners to our community to support CITR by donating to FundDrive. This helps to keep providing the services we offer to donate to UBC and the Lower Mainland. We open our phone lines in an old school telephone style to invite listeners to call in to make a pledge. If you want to do it online, visit our website, www.citr.ca/donate. So we'll be back in a moment. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Community Living Show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh in the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We also edit this radio station for the half hour, so I will put in bits and pieces there for the half hour show for Co-op Radio for our Friday audience as well. But, okay, so Jenny and Paul, here's my... I wouldn't say this is my million-dollar question, but I have the issue on PWD. What is going to happen with if I'm going to ask you, Jenny, if you were elected in April or May, what would you do with the PWD?
Jenny? Hello?
We lost her.
We lost her again.
Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Did we open the phone?
I don't know. I mean, it was open, and now we don't have her. Mm. Uh-oh.
I've gotten the impression that the NDP wants to look at PWD in terms of their poverty reduction strategy.
Yeah, but I just wanted to hear what the NDP would have to say on the PWD, I just have to hang up on her because I can't get a hold of her. All right. Well, when she comes back, we'll answer the question. She may answer the question. Yeah.
This is a weird day. We're having.
Yeah, we're having difficulties with the phones here. All right. I know you probably would answer the question on PWDs and stuff in your Disability Caucus.
Make sure we clarify the PWD for everybody, too. So,
Paul, can you explain more?
Well, the BC government, basically, they gave some money last year and clawed most of it back. If you were on transportation subsidies, you ended up with $10 more on your... after 10 years of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just gave $50, which works out to about a dollar a day?
Something like that.
It was pathetic. I mean, and at the same time last year, they gave $1 billion away to the rich in the tax cut. So, their priorities are a little skewed, considering that, well, from an economic standpoint, you don't give money to the rich to put in their offshore accounts. You give money to people who are going to spend it in your community. And people with disabilities are desperate for funds because you can't live on what they on less than $1,000 a month.
Mm.
And people, there's lots of people with disabilities who are also on income assistance that desperately need funds, and they won't give a raise to them at all.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Jenny is back.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you the question that I wouldn't say it's a $1 million question, but on the PWDs, meaning the person with disability situation, if you're, and of course you're in the writing of Surrey of NDP, what would you do with the PWD?
I think this is one of those things that we've been doing too much talking about. We've actually got to sit down.
Right.
And now have a concrete action plan. And I don't want to come out now and say what the platform is going to be or what it's going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know it's something that we are talking about very, very seriously. And we do know that we do have to tackle this ASAP.
Mm.
Okay.
All right, Paul. You were at that writing on March 2nd. Can you tell us about what had happened at that rally? Paul?
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 Oh, yes. Okay, there you go. I thought I had dead air for a second there.
Yeah.
We had a lot of really good speakers and singers. Stephanie Smith from the BC Federation of Labor, the president of the BCGEU spoke, Mike Iso. We had people from various poverty groups, the executive director for Integrity BC.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talk about the fact that the disabled are not being properly supported,
mm-hmm.
and that we do need poverty reduction, and we do need supports for people who are in school. We had a vice mm-hmm. president, second vice president from the BC Teachers Federation, speaking, talking about the Liberals' education cuts and the mm-hmm. impact on people with special needs.
Right.
It was a very effective rally. I think it'll be shown on Shaw TV within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then it'll be on YouTube, so people will be able to see it province wide.
Right.
Yeah.
One issue that I think might be interesting to get Jenny's feedback on. There's federally and provincially, we've seen the consequences of privatization for services for people with disabilities and seniors. That in seniors' care, it's actually caused deaths, and we've seen also deaths for children in care in BC. A lot of deaths and sexual assaults.
Mm.
So there's privatization is a major problem because anytime you privatize something, there's a profit motive, and some of that money has to go to profit, so you have fewer people doing the work. Is the NDP planning on moving back in the direction of actually doing something to address people's needs without giving the money away to people who want to make a profit off of it?
Jenny?
You know, nobody has shown me any evidence that privatizing public services, whether it's in the healthcare sector, including seniors' homes, people with disabilities, has actually led to any money savings for the government. But what it has led to is a lot of misery, a lot of heartache, and as you said, many, many tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a very, very simple example. A lot of the services in our hospitals have been contracted out. And what we are seeing is that the workers are working at much lower wages, so they're not paying the taxes that they would have been paying at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, the incredible understaffing, because as you said, it's all about making that extra buck for the person who's got the contract. And in the same way, we're seeing seniors' homes that are terribly understaffed. And my mother was in one recently after she fell and was in the hospital, and she ended up in a lovely place called Laurel Place.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the shocking things for me there was that they only get a shower or a bath once a week.
Mm.
And for a lot of people, my mother's generation, that's an anathema, right?
Mm.
And what I'm hearing from other seniors who are in different homes is that they've got people in there. If the person, they're understaffed on the day they're supposed to have their shower or bath, they can actually go for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we've seen the problems with lack of oversight when children have been placed into, I would say, into not very nice but often fatal situations. And so I do fear that this need by the liberals to give these contracts to their friends or to the private sector is leading to a drop in service. And it's also leading to, and this is what we've got to pay attention to, these are human beings we're talking about, whether it's our children, whether it's our seniors, or whether it's people living with disabilities. So I think that we've got to take a look at regulation, and we've also got to take a look at how we're providing our services and look for models that actually work and not for models that will benefit the contractor only.
Michael?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you just said, Jenny. And there was a is either in the Vancouver Sun or the Province. They reported incidents from Abbotsford Hospital's emergency room being so understaffed that there was a little girl who died, and then, ironically enough, a employee of Fraser Valley, the Fraser Health, had also passed away because of inadequate care.
You know, don't get me going on the hospital situation right now, because here in Surrey, for one of the fastest growing cities and with mm-hmm. a large population, we have one hospital. And, you know, I know there's a place in White Rock and there's a Delta hospital nearby. But
right.
Imagine one hospital. And when my mother got taken into emergency, I saw people lying on gurneys in hallways of the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a day or two. Some of them down there for 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that uncommon.
That,
no.
On top of that, you know, when you think about when you go into emergency, if you've gone in with a fall, which is what my mum had done, and many of the seniors who were there,
mm-hmm.
people are walking in with all kinds of infections, and yet we're leaving our most vulnerable sitting there in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and we heard recently, it made the global news, about a woman in Coquitlam.
Right.
Who was stuck in a hallway for 36 hours. And I kept thinking, people in Surrey would think 36 hours, that's nothing. Here
right.
in Surrey, you know, we sometimes have to wait 7, 8, 9 days in the hallway.
Right.
So
yeah.
For me, you know, we are in a situation where we actually have failed to invest in and to grow the services that are needed. Our infrastructure is inadequate, whether it comes to healthcare, whether it comes to providing support with people with disabilities, whether it comes to school. Here in Surrey, we have 7,000 plus students sitting in schools. 24 school districts have a population, student population, greater than 7,000.
Mm.
So when you think about it, how many kids are sitting here in portables, that's because this government very deliberately chose not to invest in schools. And knowing that the schools were needed. It isn't as if the population just landed here. This is population in Surrey has been growing about 1,000 people coming in a month for well over a decade.
Mm.
And the same for a hospital.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, you have to go into that emergency room. Try going in there some evening and see what it's like. I'm not complaining about the staff. I'm amazed at the awesome job the staff does.
Yeah, it's the administration, not the staff.
Yeah, some of them are working way beyond that 12-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't that cause another problem? Is like when you have a healthcare worker, a nurse, or a doctor that that hasn't had a chance, a day off to rest, and they're going beyond their shifts and all that. It's like the fatigue actually causes the brain to not decide on the best course of action.
Mm. Well, absolutely. I mean, you know how you're like if you've done a 12 to 14 hour day of work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't get the sleep that you need.
Mm.
And you also don't get the recovery time you need with family and friends, which is part of this process, our daily cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, if you keep getting called in on your days off as well,
right,
it's a real, real issue. Plus, I think amongst the service providers, there are some real mental health issue concerns, because I just cannot imagine the pressure that must be on that nursing and medical staff, as well as the other support staff who work in hospitals, when they know they're not providing the quality of service they need to provide. Because I know that when I was teaching, one of the biggest causes of stress in my life was if I couldn't meet the needs of the students in my classroom.
Mm.
And I'm sure it must be the same for these other professionals. You know, nurses get trained and they want to do their job well.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have to treat people as if they're on a conveyor belt, then you're going to get the kind of fatalities that we have seen.
And how do they get a hold of you from now until the election? How do they get a hold of you, Jenny?
JennySims@wcndp.ca
mm-hmm.
is a good way.
Right.
And also, you know, just Google Jenny Sims and the office location and all the telephone numbers and everything comes up.
Mm. What is? Do you have a campaign office there?
Yes, we do. The campaign office is 6289 King George Boulevard.
Yeah, near Surrey.
Yeah, right here in Surrey, yeah.
And do you have regular office hours, like 9-to-5 hours over there?
Yeah, we've started our 9-to-5 hours, and we're even going to be opening in the evenings as of next week.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much, Jenny, for calling us.
Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, quickly, a few more minutes, Paul. Your contact.
My contact?
Yes.
You can find me us at bcdisabilitycaucus@gmail.com.
Okay.
And we're on the BC, and if you look up BC Disability Caucus on Facebook, we're easy to find there too.
Yep. And we are also on Facebook too. Go to our website, www.facebook.com/groups/ Sea Living Radio. We've got about 285 members so far, and good for us. And of course,
you can contact us on Twitter, and please do email us at
Sea Living Radio. And then, of course, our email address, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. Fun Drive is just about to finish soon. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Paul, for contacting us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya. All right, so, yeah, so the Fun Drive is on again. So if you're listening to us on CITR, both online and on radio, we've just reached $22,122.37, but we need your support. We still need $40,000. Mention our show, Community Living Show.
What is this out there? They're throwing paper airplanes. You guys need to be calling. Come on now. They can't be out there throwing paper airplanes at each other. Pick up the phone right now.
Yeah,
call 604-822-8648 right now.
Yeah,
Come on. Get these guys working.
Yeah, because I don't think we have a show on from 9 o'clock on, but we've got a show from Rocket from Russia from 11 o'clock. So,
yeah.
Please make those calls ringing between then and mention the Community Living Show.
Yes.
If you really enjoy our show. So there we go.
All right.
Thank you both to our Jenny Sims, our BCNDP from Surrey, and of course, Paul Gilbert from Disability Caucus. And we'll see what we have next week's show. Right?
Yeah.
So,
and one, I guess one last quick announcement. The fibromyalgia, they're having a pub night at the Sawbucks Pub in White Rock, and that is right across the street from the Semiahmoo Mall. It is 1626 152 Street in Surrey. It actually is Surrey. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Michael. We'll be back next week. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.